Chris. Thanks for having me here tonight. So, like it was mentioned before, I started drug use at 13. I guess just real quick before that, the reason why I speak at things like this is because it reminds me of where I came from. It helps me in my recovery. And also, if it helps somebody else, you know, that's even more better. But the reason I'm here tonight is because I started smoking marijuana at 13. I just started going to a new middle school, a whole bunch of new people, new students that I hadn't really met at my elementary school. I felt a little bit out of place. But I wouldn't say that's why I started using. I felt pretty comfortable with my social status at the school. I was always sort of athletic, so I always fit in with athletic, you know, the athletic people at my school and that sort of deal. So I felt pretty comfortable with my social standing, but when it came time to the certain, you know, make friends with a certain group, I felt out of place. And that the reason was because they kept asking me, do you smoke? Do you smoke marijuana? Do you smoke weed? And I told them no. And what I noticed is the people in this group of in this group stopped talking to me after I told them no. And so I wanted to know what that was about. So I pursued, you know, friendships with them. And eventually, you know, I guess one day I was just feeling really out of place. And one of them asked me, you know, do you smoke? And I said, yes, I lied. And then I told the wrong person because he ended up telling pretty much the whole group of friends that I smoke weed. And so, you know, now I'm known in this circle of people, this inside circle, as someone who smokes weed and someone who's cool like them. And so one day, it was actually April 20th, I still remember the day, April 20th in eighth grade, after school, they convinced me to come hang out with them. And it didn't take much convincing. It wasn't like, come on, come hang out with us. It was more like, hey, do you want to hang out? Yes. That was pretty much it. And, you know, as we're walking outside, they start talking about smoking. And I start getting scared. Because I remember all the information that I got. When I was a kid, it was, what was it, DARE? DARE and all the health classes that had the, you know, presentations about, you know, the effects of marijuana and the effects of drugs, and, you know, gateway drug was a big term at the time, and I was pretty scared of using. So when they started talking about that we were going to go smoke, my fear of looking bad to them was a lot worse than the fear of what would happen to me if I smoked weed. And so you know, they lit up their cigar that they had packed with marijuana, and they started smoking it. And when it got to me, I just mimicked them and did what they did. And I coughed a lot; it hurt. And the next thing I knew, I was high. I was hazy and didn't know what was going on. But I was laughing with people, and I was bonding with people. And nothing bad happened to me, and I had a great time. For the next 10 years of my life, that's what I chased, that time. There was a whole bunch of times where, you know, I didn't have a good time. I got arrested. I started using drugs that made me scared that I was going to die because I thought I was going to overdose. It didn't matter because that first time that I had smoked, something happened for me, and I couldn't tell you. Something happened for me, and you know, after that, what happened was, yeah, I was big into baseball. I played a lot. I played baseball year round. And I played basketball too. And I stopped playing sports. My GPA dropped eventually to about a 0.8. And that was, and the only reason I know that is because I went back and got my high school transcript recently. But at that time, I didn't care what a GPA was, what my GPA was. I knew the people around me had good GPAs, and it was important to them, but it was not important to me. what was important to me was hanging out and getting high. I mean, that's what it was. That's what I did. And eventually, you know, I started drinking on the weekends, drinking alcohol. And, you know, with that came other drugs while I was partying. You know, someone introduced cocaine to me. And it was the first time that someone, that a hard drug, in my mind, a hard drug had been introduced in front of me and offered to me. And I was scared again, like the time that I was scared to smoke. But the fear of what would happen to me was not enough. And I ended up snorting the line of cocaine. And, you know, I was high again, you know. And I experienced that first sort of high feeling. And through that, I realized that other drugs were not as bad as what I thought they were. So when another new drug came in, like hallucinogenic mushrooms and ecstasy and painkillers from parents' closets and stuff like that started appearing on the scene for me, it's like, all right, I'll try it. And I did. And eventually, my life became nothing but using drugs, hanging out with my friends and using drugs. And eventually, my body got physically hooked to painkillers, and I started going through withdrawal symptoms. And at this point, you know, the social niceties were sort of all out the window, and you know, I wasn't really in denial about something was wrong. I knew something was wrong, but at this point, my body, like, I felt physically hooked. And I didn't really want anything else. So one of my friends came to me at the time, using friends came to me and said, you know, if you use a needle, it'll probably be a lot stronger and you'll get a lot higher. And, you know, I'd heard all the stuff about needles and, you know, I was scared of needles. When I went to the doctor, I would have to look away like this. And I did that first time. But like before, the fear of what would happen to me if I started using needles wasn't enough for me to not use it. And that opened up everything, pretty much. Now I'm shooting up, right? Now I'm using needles. So heroin was pretty close after that. And I became a daily heroin IV user. And I didn't know what happened. You know, there would be days where I woke up and I'd be like, is this my life? I didn't know. This is my life, this is crazy, but I kept doing it. And eventually, I landed in jail and a couple times, and you know, detoxes, but nothing really brought it home to me until my dad said, you're not coming back here after going to jail again, and I went to jail again, and he said, you're not coming back here, and eventually what happened was the judge, in my last case, decided to not let me out of jail, decided to not let me have bond. And even though I was furious at the judge, it was the best thing that could have ever happened for me, because I had to stay in jail and I withdraw from heroin, and I had to see what was really going on. And eventually I got out on the condition that I go to treatment. And I went to a treatment center, a 90-day residential treatment center. And there I was introduced to what addiction is, what powerlessness over addiction is, and what my experience is. And my experience is that I was not going to stop using by myself. And that's what I learned. And through there, I met some really good people, and I still know some of these people. You know, I got involved in recovery, and, you know, I do stuff like this, and I started going to college after getting a GED, and I'm still sort of in the process. My story's still being written right now, but you know, the only thing that really helped me through the whole process is that when I was getting in trouble in school, my dad would always come to the rescue, because he's my dad. Of course he's going to come to the rescue. He's a single father. And he always came to the rescue and shielded me from the consequences. And I love my dad very much, with my whole heart. And you know, the only time that something really got through to me inside, you know, through all that denial, through all the skewed perception that I had, was when the consequences sank in, and no one shielded me from them, not the judge, not the probation officer, not the social worker, not anybody. I had to deal with it, with what was actually going on. And so, you know, I try not to give advice because no one gave advice to me that actually, you know, sunk in, but they said to end with some advice for the students or parents. And what I would say is don't shield people from the consequences of their behaviors, unless you want someone to always shield their consequences through their whole life, because at some point, you know, we're not going to be there. At some point, you're not going to be there. At some point, they're going to be alone and going to have to face up to what they did, good or bad. And, you know, for people, for students, I don't know if students are in here. Yeah, I guess so. If there's students in here that are using, you know, what I was told is, have you ever set a line that you said that you would never cross, and then you crossed it, and then set another line, and then crossed that line? If you've done that, then maybe you've got a problem. And if you've got a problem, then you should probably ask for help. That's what worked for me. So, thanks.